Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. But she also understood how important that role was in a life. And, you know, yes, to mankind, it is the most. In fact, I'd even say
satanic and evil, and you become a piece of garbage.
Yep. If you have that, yes, yes,
a disgusting creature.
Yes.
So what I wanted to say, you know, they wanted to teach the Afghans how to behave to women, but the so-called Afghan government that they created and support, and the Afghan army, so-called, that they support, you know,
yeah,
they are playing with little children, but the U.S. still support them and give them billions every year, but they're playing with little boys.
Oh.
Yeah. And the USA, no, it's part of the culture. That is the excuse, because, you know, according to the, I think, the constitution or the rules in the U.S., you cannot support an army that they are offending human rights.
Right, that's right, that's right.
So they have this problem, because how can you, one of this, maybe in the Congress, or I don't know,
Not only are you right,
how you support them if they're playing with little boys?
Well, here's the thing. Not only are you right, but I personally had a story from a friend of mine who's his sergeant when he was in Afghanistan. Was it Afghanistan or Iraq? I forget, and I apologize for that. I should remember that. But anyway,
it's not. I say it's not the so-called Taliban.
Yeah. But check this out. But yes. I'm pretty sure it was Afghanistan, and this is the story that he told me. He said that he had a sergeant that was ordered by his command. Now, he came across the same, you know, they would patrol the same village, and he came across the same individual who was sodomizing little boys. And right. Now listen, check this out. On the third time, he was ordered twice to stand down. On the third time that he was ordered to stand down, he walked over with his pistol and he put one through his head, and he was court-martialed for defending the. How could you court-martial somebody for blowing the brains out of a pedophile?
Of a gay pedophile.
Yeah, right. I mean, that is everything. That is the antithesis that of anything in the Bible, let alone just basic human morality. Yes, they court-martialed him. A court-martial is when you come up, and this is a military tribunal. It's not like you get to present an evidence before your peers. You come up in front of other military officers, and they judge you based upon the Code of Uniform Military Justice, which is like a martial law trial. He was sentenced. He was convicted. The last I heard, he was fighting his conviction, but he was convicted for disobeying a direct order. He wasn't charged for homicide, but he was charged for disobeying a direct order and conduct unbecoming. And this is what drives me crazy. This is why I, hold on, let me finish. This is almost why I call it the Satanic Army, is because if you can charge somebody for conduct unbecoming a U.S. military officer for stopping somebody from sodomizing a child, then we really need to seriously reevaluate what God it is that the United States military is purporting to worship.
Yes. And it's not only that. They silence other soldiers they want to speak. They silence them and
yep.
So, but you need to know this culture. It exists for many years. From the Afghanistan is a lot of ethnic groups and languages. Now, you have the Taliban, what you call Taliban. It's mostly from Pashtun tribes.
Yep.
Pashtun tribes speaking Pashtun language, is a kind of Iranic language. Now you got other Turkic tribes, Mongol Turkic tribes that were nomadic and arrived from the steppes, because to the north of Afghanistan you will have the steppes, the Eurasian steppes. You will have Uzbekistan, you will have and from Uzbekistan north you will have the big steppes. And all the Turks came from there, from Mongolia and from Kazakhstan. So they went down what you call Transoxiana, between the two rivers.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Uzbekistan, the Sir Daria and Amu Daria, and then they went south to Afghanistan. Now, these Turkic, they have this culture of playing with little boys. Now, the Pashtuns didn't have this culture. The Pashtuns are the real owner of this land, okay, of Afghanistan. All the others are just nomads that arrived. Now, the Taliban, they didn't have it, okay? The Taliban will kill you if you're going to play with a boy. They're going to kill you for less things, okay? Now, the Taliban, like, they cleared Afghanistan from drugs, from the opium. Yeah, they cleaned it. They cleaned it from this disgusting gay pedophilic culture. But the U.S., when they developed, created so-called Afghan government and Afghan army, so this army is combined from the enemies of the Pashtuns, okay? Other ethnic groups of Turkic and Mongolic race, okay? That they, historically, they don't like the Pashtuns because the Pashtuns ruled over them.
Right, right.
So, and they have this culture of playing with boys. Okay, so the U.S. Came to save human rights in Afghanistan, to teach the Afghan how to behave to women, while they destroying the group that protected little boys and supporting the group that love to play with the little boys. That is the situation.
Right. Right. Oh, dude, I tell you what, you and I, if you had a house next door to my house, you and I would probably be best friends, my friend.
Yeah.
And this is what I've been trying to tell people here, who you have the hardcore Zionist conservatives running around talking about, they're bringing Sharia law! You know what? Listen, and they have them all painted, all Muslims painted with the same brush. And I talk to people that say, oh, you know, the Quran is wrong, the Bible is right, and we can't mix our pearls with swine. And like, you know what, people? Really, really. Y'all need to really seriously take a deep breath, sit back, and really reevaluate where you are in life. Because if you really believe, if these people really actually believed that Jesus would be that way towards other people, then I think they're following the wrong God.
No, but of course. Jesus, I think, in the New Testament, in the Bible, the only time he was aggressive toward other people, it was toward the moneylenders.
He walked into the... Yes, it was he. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees! Yeah, man.
He wasn't aggressive toward the people that.
No. Yeah. Chastity, honor.
Honor, to have mercy, to have respect, to have that. I think the New Testament also.
Mercy, justice.
That the woman need to be under the man, to be submitted to the man, and the man must take care of his woman.
Let me tell you the word dominion. God gave dominion over his marriage. Dominion means to me, now this comes from the definition, responsibility and stewardship. Now when I say stewardship, I mean a responsibility that means that you have a moral and ethical responsibility to provide for and to protect your wife. Right? But you right. And you know what? Out of the two, out of these two jobs, one may seem to be overtly masculine, but this is what I have to say about the role of the woman, especially when it comes to children. There is no more important job in that household than that of the mother, because without the mother, you cannot have children. Without the mother, you cannot have the nurturing of children.
Raising and educating.
And exactly, man. It so people misunderstand. They call it the patriarchy, right? This is these Marxists, right?
If you want God, the spirit.
Right. Man has a... Hey, let me tell you something. My grandmother and my grandfather, right? My grandmother came to me. I remember we had this talk. I'll never forget it. And she said, look, she said, Sabap, your grandfather, he has the final say. But he has never made a decision in his life without coming to me first and sitting down with me and saying, Rosie, how do you feel? What do you think? And what can I do?
Yeah, exactly.
And then he takes that, he internalizes it, and if he's a good and honorable man, the decision is not just his own. He may be making the final decision, but the decision is an incorporation of that of the man and the woman together joined, if he's a good man.
Of course.
But just like in a military situation, there can only be one decision, because, right? I mean, it's just common sense. But
the problem, because of this generation, it's crazy. They think that if a woman is under a man, they think that means that the man gonna be like evil dictator for the woman.
That's the patriarchy.
She's not gonna suffer. We're gonna respect her and love her and
cherish her. Cherish her. Yeah. Now I have to tell you. I have to tell you, brother, I'm gonna say this first and then I'm gonna go on to my own. There are some Muslims that take a switch to their wife. Like Saudi Arabia, those dudes are nuts, bro. Those dudes are out of their gourd crazy, right? Now, I will also say that here in the United States, you have Christian men who think that they can come home from work and get drunk and whack their wife around, and that's okay, and it's not okay. It's not okay.
Not okay when a Yemeni do it, and I'm Yemeni, when a Saudi do it, or when a Dutchman do it, or America.
Amen.
So, you know, people sometimes abuse their power.
Yeah.
So that people, you need individually to punish. Okay? It doesn't mean you're going to intervene. I'm not saying that the court or police or government can intervene in your own house. No, not at all. I'm against it.
No, yeah, you're right.
When you have a community and the women suffer, so you have the way in your tribe or in your community to solve it. You understand? If she really suffers, if you know, because there are people who are bad, that they have power and they abuse it.
Yes.
Mostly, most of normal human beings, okay, yes, he have power over his wife, but he want to make her the most happy woman in the world, and she will be. You know, that is the most of human beings. So if you have the people who are crazy and they abuse this power, because, okay, it doesn't mean that that is the reality of every woman in the world, you know. That's what I mean. But today, people think that if a man is going to be above the woman, so the reality will be that the woman will suffer. No, it's only...
No, they call it here in Marxism, they call it the patriarchy.
Ask this Marxism. I ask them. All of history and all of the civilizations, because in most civilizations, and I'm saying, I don't include nude barbaric tribes that were nudes without writings, and they didn't even concept of marriage. I'm not including them when I say civilizations.
Right.
Civilizations, I mean Japanese, Chinese, Europeans, Middle Easterns, and so on. So in all of civilizations, in all of the history, the man was above the woman. Okay, it's a new Marxist concept, the equality.
Yeah.
But, however, most of women in all they didn't suffer. So you Marxists, you're gonna tell me that all of the women for 5,000, 10,000 years in all over the world they suffered. And only now they don't suffer anymore. That is a Marxist concept. So you're going to tell me that you think all of the...
That's right.
...are suffering, that all of the grandmothers of Europeans, they suffered. Because it's not something that was 1,000 years ago. Or only 70 years ago, if you go to Europe, it was like that. So you want to tell me that all of the women 70 years ago in Germany suffered and in England suffered? And in... Of course not.
No. Yep.
So, they won't have anything to say. And but what can I tell you? They destroyed the U.S. The U.S. was a great nation. No.
It was. It's not a great nation. Here's the thing. The government does not represent the people as much as that it should have been. No, yeah, but that's not, it's not just, you know what, and I agree with you in one respect, but it's not just the United States. If you look at the history, really truly look at the history of this, right? Those that are controlling this are really, for the most part, outside the United States, controlling the United States from without. And they're controlling U.S. politicians from within, but these are political prostitutes. The majority of the American people, my friend, really, if you could sit down and talk to them on a wavelength that you and I are talking right now, do you hear how you and I are talking right now? Right? These are political prostitutes. They're not representative of the people, no more than it's representative of any other empire. And even the Romans, when they said the Romans, it was the empire, it was their soldiers that did the work. And I agree with you, I understand, we do have a problem. But look, I look to kind of like, I'm kind of like a Ron Paul libertarian, right? I believe that we need to get out of meddling with the matters of foreign nations. I don't think that we should have 190 military bases around the world. I don't think that we should be involved with interfering with outside elections. But at the same time, the political prostitutes in Washington, D.C., we have had people within our country who have stood up, have risen up, and stood in the face of this evil. And they have been murdered and killed. They have not been murdered and killed by the American people, my friend. They have been murdered and killed by the international. And this is why I'm saying, this is why it's so important. The international banking conglomerate elite. And that's the problem.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm searching for something. There is a book, the Thucydides. I don't know in English, maybe how to say it correctly. The name, this historian lived like 2,400, 300 years ago, in the time of the Peloponnesian War between Athens and Sparta.
Yep.
Thucydides. So this guy, he wrote, he was from the elite of Athens. So he wrote what they used to say in the assemblies, the leaders and so on, because, you know, Athens was the home of democracy. So they had assemblies and so on. Sparta wasn't a democracy. But, of course, it's not the same concept of what we call today democracy.
Right.
Direct democracy. If it doesn't mean that women could... Democracy doesn't mean that women have the right to vote or that there is no slavery. No. Because Athens was democracy, and the majority of Athenians weren't citizens, so they couldn't vote or be in the assemblies, and all of the women couldn't vote and be in the assemblies, but it's the home of democracy. But today they will praise Athens for democracy without mentioning it. Now, what he said, that they had the empire, Athens, okay?
Yes.
They fought against the Persians. The Greek fought against the Persians. So the Greeks, they had the city-states that fought against each other. They were competitive and rivals for each other. But when the Persian came, they united against the Persians. Even though they used to fight and take slaves from each other and plunder each other and so on, when the stranger came, the Persian, they united. So when they united, Athens created the Delian League, and to protect against Persia. Okay, but okay, when the Persian threat disappeared, okay, no more Persian threat. Okay,
right.
They still had this Delian League, okay, without any reason. Okay, and if some city states, okay, wanted to leave this Delian League, okay?
Yes.
They wanted to leave. Athens wouldn't let them to leave. They would invade this kind of city states and install democracy or so on.
Well, democracy is another problem too. Democracy is two wolves and a sheep deciding what's going to be for dinner.
Yeah, of course. That's the reason. First of all, the elites in Athens, they didn't like that. Not only because they are elites. So, of course, as elites, oligarchs, they would prefer oligarchy. Because they are philosophers and smart people. No, I don't think any philosopher in that time of Athens, it's golden age of Greek philosophy. When you say Greek philosophy, you mean Athens philosophy.
Yes.
They oppose this ridiculous idea of democracy. Now, but it's not my point. So the Delian League, it was the Athenian Empire, okay? So you can call it Athenian Empire, okay?
Okay.
So they had the war against Sparta, and then he brings Thucydides in his book, one of the leaders of Athens, when he talked in the assembly, he told them that you cannot give up on the empire. You must fight because after you have an empire, before you have an empire, okay, you can decide not to have one anymore, not to have one to start with. But if you already got an empire, okay, you cannot now leave it. And explain to them why.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it?
I explain to them, but you need to understand. Yes, I understand that you say no more meddling and no more meddling intervention, exploitation, and all the corporation overseas and military bases overseas. But okay, let's say you don't have it anymore. Okay, you stop with that intervention, and you are only in the U.S., you don't know what would happen to the U.S.
right,
to the security of the U.S., to the economic of the U.S., because the only reason the dollar, for example, was something is because of that empire. So you don't know what will happen in the day you stop being empire. Okay, so you don't have the petrodollars, and you don't have the cheap flood of oil, and you don't have the military might, and you don't have the exploitations of a lot of other countries. So what about your security as a simple, good-hearted American? So it's not so easy to say, to be a libertarian and say, I don't want this. Yes, I understand morally that you don't want it, but you need to find the balance. How can I reduce, like narcotic man, if he reduce from his heroin in once,
yeah,
maybe he need, you know, to tomorrow to take a little, not in,
damn, that's a pretty damn good example, brother. That's a pretty good example. That is probably the more accurate example that I've heard.
You take less. Yeah. If you took 2 milligrams, you take tomorrow 1.5.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
Because you don't know what would happen. You don't know if you're going to have bread to eat. You don't know. And so, of course, like you think about all the people in the world, that they shouldn't be exploited and they should have bread to eat, you should think about your bread as well. So you need to find a complex solution for that. It's not easy one. And you don't know, okay, you stop with that. You think the Russians would stop, or you think the Chinese would stop?
Yeah, right.
I don't think so. So better I will be the empire and not Russia or China, and I'm going to be their slave. Think about that as well.
Yeah.
So it's complex in my idea.
Yes, it is complex, but you know what? It's not unreasonable. It's not unreasonable. That's what I really enjoy about having these conversations, because look, you know, we talk about this over here in the States, and we don't get to see as much. Like Adam and Jake, thank God they're over there, and I appreciate them being there. But what it comes down to is that, you know, we need to have more of these conversations, because the American people are so absolutely dumbed down to the reason that exists there. And what I mean, the reason, I mean the normalcy. Right, you just want to live and let live, right? Right?
Yeah.
Right. So what gives one group of people the right to move in, bulldoze, terrorize, and take from another people what does not belong to them, that they can say, oh, well, you know, the Bible says, well, okay, but we can have differences on the interpretation of that, right? Like,
of course, but,
right. I don't think God is not a real estate agent.
He's not. But if you come to me with Bible, okay, no problem. Let's say, okay, we're gonna only talk from the Bible, okay?
Okay.
Because you come from the Bible, okay? It's your only book. You don't accept any. Okay, so I'm with you from the Bible. Now let's pretend you are 100% pure children of Israel. Let's assume that as well. Okay. Now you say, okay, that piece of land belongs to me because God gave it to me. Okay, you say it. I'm with you. You are the children of Jacob, and I speak only from the Bible. Okay. Now, God gave it to you, and he told you he's going to curse you and punish you and kick you out of the land if you're going to misbehave. And only he going to return you when you're going to repent.
Amen. There you go. You're making my argument.
Your Torah say, and the most anti-Semitic book in the world is a Jewish Hebrew Bible, because most of the Hebrew Bible is the prophets of the Jews criticizing the Jews, cursing the Jews.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because of the way they behave. Therefore, the Jews killed these prophets. Okay? Because they criticize them, they curse them, and so on. So, let's say, okay, God gave it to me. I say, okay, God gave it to you. So, it belonged to God, and he decided to who to give it and who to take it from. And he took it from you and kick you out. And he said, when you're going to repent, he's going to bring you from all the nations. And all the nations will agree for that and bring you to that land and sacrifice and so on with you. Now, how can you say that you repent if the worst of mankind and of the Jews, okay, this kind of in a secular Jews that don't believe in anything, okay, they are these Zionists and satanic Jews, they established Israel, not the rabbis.
That's right.
Okay, not the practice Jew with the hair locks. Okay, he's just a slave. Maybe they needed him, but they didn't. The people who established this project, that achieved this European project, was a Zionist, atheistic, immoral, satanic Jews. Mm-hmm. So you didn't repent, and God didn't bring you back. It was atheistic, immoral Jews that brought you back by the force of guns and bombs and terror attacks, and by the force of economy and money lenders that had connections and powers in the kingdoms of the world. So it's not about that you were exiled and you repent and God brought you back. You were exiled and you became more evil than you were before. Okay, atheistics, Marxists, and so on. And then you came back by your own idea, not God. God has nothing to do with that project and movement.
That's right.
So you don't believe in the Bible if you are a Zionist.
I agree. I completely agree.
They even prosecuted religious Jews.
Yep.
Okay, kidnapped Yemenite Jews. Kidnapped Yemenite babies from their mothers.
Yes.
Okay, because they took the Yemeni Jews and put them in concentration camps and kidnapped their mothers and forced the children to cut their hillocks and commit fornication, and Yemeni Jews never had any kind of fornication in Yemen.
Yeah.
You know, men and women were separated totally. They never had kind of you know, like to be immodest. Okay.
Yeah.
So they forced them in these concentration camps to cut their hillocks, to disrespect their Saturday laws, like fire and so on.
That's right.
If men and women are not dancing together. And for the Yemeni Jew, it was something you will die and you don't do it. Children, girls and boys to dance together. It's something unthinkable. But you're not going to have food. And if the rabbi is going to talk, the Zionist is going to shoot him in his head. So, and so this atheistic movement with the capital of gays called Tel Aviv.
And that's true. That's true. That's true for Christians that maybe... Hey, that's really true for Christians that maybe...
Your Bible says you must kill someone who is a gay, and you must kill someone who, a woman that cheat on her husband. That is a Jewish Bible. Okay, I'm not saying what you should do or not. I'm saying what the Bible say. Okay, so okay.
No, that is what the Old Testament says, and to us, to right. Jesus said, yeah. Jesus came to enforce. He came to enforce the Ten Commandments and God's law. And he said to the Jews, he said, your doctrines have made the law of God of none effect.
That's what,
the Talmud, yes.
The Talmud is a forefather of the, what you call...
That was the oral traditions he was talking about. They just...
Yes.
Yes.
So, you Jew, you did not only you didn't repent, you the worst of humankind, and the worst of the Jews in the history of the Jews, you know, worse than the Jews that were sacrificing their children for the Molech 3,000 years ago.
Right, and they're doing. By the way, they're doing in California. Right now, once a year, every year, they have this festival called the Bohemian Grove, where they have this effigy and this big ceremony in black robes in front of this big owl that is Moloch. Okay, they are still worshiping this Babylonian god to this day.
They have what you call kibbutzim, a communistic villages. Okay, in this kibbutzim of the Jews, communist villages. Okay, you don't have any property.
Yes,
and so on. That this Zionist in Palestine or Israel, they have this kibbutzim. So the children you won't raise your own children. The kibbutz, the village, they will have the place of the children. You as a father and mother, you will. Today you're gonna raise your children. Tomorrow you're gonna raise other children. You know.
That's collectivism. It's communism. Yes, yes.
And with the wives as well. This collectivism.
Yes.
These Jews, and Bernie Sanders, he was in a kibbutz.
Don't get me started.
Bernie Sanders, he was in a kibbutz. Kibbutz is communistic,
yep.
Jewish village in Israel, Zionist village. So he went to a kibbutz and he returned as a Marxist. So, and this kibbutzim, they hailed Stalin. They hailed Stalin. They loved Stalin very much. The same Stalin that...
Yep, millions.
Millions of Christians. So
yeah, we hear about the... Hey. We're about to go on the hot topic. We hear about the 6 million. Oh, really? Really? Let's hear about Stalin's millions. The Armenian genocide, Stalin's genocide, the pogroms, the Holodomor. I mean, I could go on and on, brother.
Let's hear about millions of Iraqis. Let's hear about millions.
Absolutely.
Millions of Germans that died and murdered and killed after the war, that were killed, okay? After they surrender, okay? You know, according
brother,
to morals, if you surrender, I don't kill you, okay? So what about millions of Germans?
Yeah.
So these people... they established Israel, so how can it be connected to the Bible? So if the Jew or if the Zionist,
of course,
any kind of Zionist, if he come to me with his Bible stuff, I will tell him, okay, according to the Bible, you are a blasphemer if you think that God gave the land to the Jews.
Because oh, you know, I saw a video once... No, listen, I heard all of those arguments, and I've read through the Bible, and even in their Bible, without the New Testament, without the Christian Bible, they violated the covenant. They're in their own Bible. They violated the covenant of God.
Bible, not only in the Old Testament. In the first five books that they call it Torah. Okay, Old Testament is a lot of books. But the first five books, most important book for the Jews, they call it Torah. So he said to them, okay, what's the name of the fifth book? I forgot. He tells them again.
Off the top of my head, I don't remember.
Deuteronomy of the fifth book. It's not my language. He told them clearly that only that they're gonna misbehave and they're gonna repeat the Canaanite evil deeds, and then he's gonna kick them like he kicked the Canaanites. Okay, and only when they repent, and they're gonna repent.
You mean Deuteronomy? Is that what you mean?
Yes. With all of their hearts, they're gonna repent. Then he's gonna bring them back, and all the nations will want it. They will be happy to bring back the Jews.
Yeah.
First of all, the local people, you know, like more than 100 million Arab Muslims in the area of the Middle East didn't want the Jews to come and claim Israel. So the nations didn't want.
Right.
Repent. You didn't repent in your exile. So God say, I'm going to kick you out. You're going to be kicked and spread and scattered all over the world, and then you're gonna repent.
Yep.
So, okay, nothing of this scenario happened. Okay.
Oh, and by the way, God said that He would bring them back. Not that He would use a bunch of atheist, communistic Bolsheviks to commit false flag terror events like the King David Hotel, and we could go on in the USS Liberty and all that. God does not need to deceive you, folks. God does not need to come in the. He'll come.
He will send you a prophet, maybe.
There you go. But not a bunch of deceivers.
Of course. So the scenario of this of the Bible, nothing of that happened. Yes, it happened that you sinned and you were very bad, and God kick you out and you scattered all over the world. Okay, that happened, the punishment. Now, what he says about the future, that you're going to repent with all your hearts. You're going to repent and come back to God. And then He's going to have mercy on you because you repent.
Yeah.
He's going to take you, bring you back to the Holy Land. And all the nations will agree and support you and take you back. Your land. That didn't happen. Nothing of that scenario happened. Nothing. The total opposite. Not only.
That's right. You're absolutely right.
So no one can come to me with a Bible to argue. He can tell me, okay, we were strong and might is right. Okay, I tell him, okay, might is right, but like Jesus said, the one who lives with a sword will die with a sword. One day, the might will be with your enemies, and they will say the same. Might is right. Okay.
Hey, what did Jesus happen? What did Jesus do when the ear was cut off of the soldier when he was being captured? You know, I don't know if you know this story, but
no, I don't know.
But Jesus when the soldiers came to take him, when they came to take him into custody, one of the apostles stepped up with his sword and he cut the ear off of a soldier, and Jesus stopped him and he said, no, you don't do this. This is my destiny. Basically, it was what he was saying was, this is my destiny. You don't do this. And he healed his ear. Now look, We can maybe agree or disagree that the ear was healed or but the moral to the story was that here was an event that needed to happen in history. And there's a time and a place for war. There's a time and a place for defense. And there's a time and a place where by our own consent that we are giving ourselves up. And what Jesus did is he gave himself up, right? For the better of everyone who was around him, because had they resisted, they all would have been killed right there on the spot, right?
Yeah, but it's the opposite of the Talmudic Jew, because...
Right! Right!
You only have one bottle of water, you're gonna drink it and your friend gonna die.
That's my point. You made my point for me.
They say specifically, you will not share half to you after your friend.
Yes.
Because then both of you will die. So you're gonna take it and your friend gonna die. So I'm not saying it is wrong, okay? I'm not now judging what idea is right. And
No, I get that. But we're talking in generalities.
The total opposite of the Talmudic Jew.
Right, exactly. It is the exact opposite. Because even in the Talmud tells you if you want to commit a certain crime over there, go a couple towns away and go and commit that. Come on!
And wear a black dress. So maybe that's the reason that the Orthodox Jews, they wear black.
Usually. Yeah, it's all right for you to go and defile Goyim girls in another town, as long as you do it in another town so that when you return to your town, you can maintain your honor. I mean, that to me, that's satanic.
You cannot defile, for example, the Yemeni Jew in Yemen, he cannot defile a Yemeni woman. He will be put to death immediately. Anyone cannot.
Good.
The Muslim cannot defile a woman because it's something
Listen, let me tell you an old story real quick. I don't know how things go on over there, but back in the day of my grandfather, there was a young lady who was transgressed upon, right? And my cousins found out who that individual was. That transgressed upon her, and he was delivered in pieces into the Allegheny River in Pennsylvania, and one piece at a time. And we've gotten so far away from the days where we used to really maintain honor.
That again, I want to remember it. So
go ahead.
Hello.
Go ahead. I can hear you.
Yeah, I want you to tell me this again. I want to remember.
Yes. Yeah. This is a long time ago. Okay, but one of the family members of an extended family member was defiled against her will. She fought too, but she was defiled against her will. But the cousins of our family delivered his body into the Allegheny River in parts and pieces. See?
What a big difference. These people will not recognize their own descendants.
No!
Like, they will not recognize their own nation.
No, not at all. Oh, we may give that same person about 5 years in jail with some... We'll give him some counseling. And we'll do, you know what? If you rape my cousin, I am going to kill you. And I am going to chop you up into little itty bitty pieces. And
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that in Britain, these Muslims, and I'm a Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
I am a Muslim. But I don't care if it is my own son or my own brother.
No, I don't care either. Yeah. Do you know who I don't blame, though? Here's the thing, though. You know who I don't blame? I don't blame, in that situation, I don't blame the girl.
So, these people that rape...
Yes.
I say not jail, and I don't say expel them. I say execute.
Yes, pimps execute. Pimps execute.
Don't. Don't put them in jail.
I agree. Even those that go out there and they pimp. I know that there's a lot of these girls that develop drug problems and all that here in the United States and all over the world. But here in the United States, when you have people that are out there that are pimping women, that pimping another woman, pimping what is most precious given to us by God, which is a woman, you should be, if you're found guilty of that, you should be lined up against the wall and shot, in my opinion. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I'll stone to this with stone, the problem is deeper. It's deeper. Why is the problem?
Morality. We've been infected. We've been infected by Hollywood morality.
When you raise a girl with Hollywood, with Jewish Hollywood. When you raise a girl with Jewish media, and that the role model and of the girl is
Adam Sandler.
Yeah. Someone who a porn movie, for God's sake, okay? And this is a role model, as a woman that had made a porn movie when she was young, or Paris Hilton, or Beyoncé.
Yep.
So you have a very corrupted and animal generation.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I agree with you. I agree with you.
So and then of course you will find that there are drug problems and pimping and so on.
Yeah.
If you have a culture that hates these immoral actions and views and that hate it, that they don't have this kind of Hollywood, that that in the movies. There will be no nude and no immodest scenes, and even you will not have a story when a wife cheats in a husband. It shouldn't be in a movie. So everything in the movie gonna teach you how to be good if you have that kind of society.
Yeah.
So you won't find in your society pimping and drugs and so on. It's only acceptable to people who have no honor and no dignity, that they are totally corrupted. So it becomes acceptable in this kind of broken...
Well, you know, look at the society today here in the United States. We're listening to, because these stars from Hollywood are tweeting this or saying that, first of all, we can't, as a people, be intelligent enough to realize that, hey, wait a minute, all these people are pretty faces that can memorize lines. That is it. That is all that they are. Now, let's say that some of these people have a little bit more substance. Well, if that were the case, you would have more diversity of thought. But you don't have diversity of thought in Hollywood. You have, it's the same meme. LGBT, which is the gay, lesbian, transgender. You can be a boy if you're a girl, and you can be a girl if you're a boy, and everything is fluid, and everything is transhumanism. And now we've gotten down to the point where they're putting out videos now, these little girls that are essentially, it's numerology of the numbers of 666, like, what's her name? Poppy. This is another one. I mean, this is getting pumped into the minds of the youth. They are being infested and infiltrated with satanic shaitan. This is what they are being infested with, which is the thinking of shaitan. And it drives me nuts.
To educate and they force you by law to send your precious girl to their disgusting education system, indoctrination system.
Yeah, we're working on that. Look,
I'm not gonna send your girl to the school.
I would not.
So they have the social workers who are gonna kidnap your girl.
Yeah, I'll kill them first. I'll be honest with you, brother.
Yeah, so you understand? So you already live in a Bolshevik state, but you just think.
Yep. Yep. If I had if no, yeah. It's so much more. It's so much more than that.
Jewish Talmudic.
Yep. So much more. Yes, it's so much more.
Opinion and the opposite opinion, and if it's not coming, if it's capital.
But let me ask you. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you. I want to ask you a question because I only have a couple more minutes here. I want to ask you an honest question. How does it make you feel that you are talking to a red-blooded American man who loves his country, loves his people, but believes the same way that you do about the things that you've been talking about? Does that not give you an eyesight into the paradigm, the control that they have? There are those of us out here that understand exactly what you're saying. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel how the Greek term for logic and for logic for
common sense. logos.
Logos. You know, it's something I will say universally. We are human beings.
Yep.
So I would say 1 + 1, 2. If I have one orange and another orange, it's 2 oranges. Whether if I am in Japan, in the moon, or in Venus.
Yes.
Okay. So you can be red American and so on, and I can be Yemeni, but we are both human and have human logos.
Yes.
Only humans have logos, okay, not other animals. So, of course, we will have a lot of in common.
Listen, let me tell you something. Saeed, I have to say to you, as a Christian man, and I understand that you understand my faith, I will still say to you, assalamualaikum. I don't say it really well. Assalamualaikum, my friend. I respect you. I respect you as a man. I respect you as an honorable man, and I thank you for being honorable. I have to go now, and for the Resurrect the Republic radio show, RTR Truth Media, we have been talking with Saeed. I can't share the rest of his name. He is in Palestine. But Saeed, I thank you, and I want to have many more conversations with you in the future, if that's okay with you, my friend.
Inshallah, we will see.
Inshallah. Okay, I have to go. Thank you. God bless you, brother. All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Sin.